God bless you. My name is Aaron Cunningham, and I'll be doing tonight's teaching. It's an advanced teaching in our Heavenly Father's Word. I'm rooted in the original languages that the Word is written in. Jesus Christ was not an American. He wasn't Spanish. He wasn't Portuguese. He wasn't German. He was a Hebrew. So every writer of the book was Hebrew, and some of them, they're in what we call the New Testament. It was in Greek, but the original language is Jesus Christ's father is the God of the Hebrews. Okay, it's not the God of the Greeks. Who is the king of the Greeks?
Yes.
His name was Zeus. Is Jesus the son of Zeus?
No.
No, he was not the son of Zeus. He was the son of Yahweh. So Yahweh's the father. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus Christ would always refer to the scriptures. His disciples would have said, who is the father in heaven? Isaiah says, Yahweh, our Father. So did King David. Moses said it, all the prophets. So they would have known the Father that's supposed to be sacred, that is holy, Yahweh's name. And that's also said that thou shalt not say Yahweh's name for falsehood. So we'll be referring to the Hebrew words and then some of the Greek words. And so it is advanced. If you have any questions, contact us. But I'd really encourage you, Google is a great illustration just for food for thought. Most Christians, we have a tendency, at least American Christians, to think Jesus Christ was an American. I did too. But ask Google, say, what is the name of the God of the Hebrews? They're not going to say Jesus. They're going to say Yahweh. Oh, interesting. Who is the son of Yahweh? Jesus, or Yahushua is how you actually say his name. Jesus' name in the Hebrew, if I go to Mexico, what do they call Jesus?
Jesus.
What do they call Jesus in East Africa? Yesu. That's, the Greek is Yesu. You go to different languages, different Rachel in Spanish is Raquel. Rachel in Swahili is Rael. Okay, so we understand it. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to transliterate to bring things across. But if you want to know what Jesus' name is, Jesus is from Iesus, the Greek. Was Jesus a Greek?
No.
No, he's a Hebrew. Ask Google, say, what is the Hebrew name for Jesus? Yahushua. Joshua. So Joshua and Jesus are both Jesus in the New Testament. So in Hebrews and in the book of Acts, when we talk about Joshua, newer translation says Joshua. But if you look at the Greek word, guess what it says? Yesu. And if you look at the original King James, it says Jesus. So the translators now, they know, well, Jesus or Joshua, it means the same thing. But anyways, just a little explanation of the words so that it doesn't stumble. We'll open with a word of prayer, and then we'll hold manifestations to the end of the teachings. If you guys would remind me of the manifestations. It says covet to prophesy. You know how many times I've given some testimonies about me giving prophecies to people. I'm not a prophet. Anybody can teach, but it doesn't make everybody a teacher. I'm not a prophet, but anybody can prophesy. And 1 Corinthians 14 says word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. If somebody makes a mistake and they start saying, I saw you in your room and I saw this, you're going to say, time out, you might have good intentions. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, unless you're a prophet. I've never met a prophet. Hopefully I will someday. But we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the believers. I thank you. What an opportunity and blessing it is to have my family here. Troy and Shauna and Rachel and Billy and whoever else is watching, for my mom and my dad and my nieces and my nephews. We thank you for your word is true. We thank you that you and your son live inside of us. And in this relationship, it's not a long-distance relationship. If we humble and circumcise our hearts, say, I really want to know. Please help me. Then you will teach us from the inside out. So even the words that I speak, you will be able to interpret and sift out the things that are Aaron. And to cultivate your words into each one of these believers, if they have an ear to hear. So I thank you for these believers perking up and saying, give it all you got. Instead of coming to you with a handful, let us be like James and John's mom. Because here are people coming to get healed and stuff, and all of a sudden here's James and John's mom comes to the Son of God. And he goes, what do you want? She goes, well, I want one son to be at your left hand and the other son to be at your right hand in your kingdom. Those are the two highest positions there would have been. And Jesus Christ did not reprove them. He says, they are able to do it, but I can't give that to you. But let us be like that woman. You, Father, you wrote that in the scriptures for us. We thank you for all these things and for tonight's teaching through Christ. Amen. Amen. You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I won't tell you the verse. That's page 189 in the Greek. What we'll be using the Rotherham Emphasized Bible is the world's most accurate translation of the Word. Telios Ministries, it's got I think Tim once said, a warehouse of knowledge. Not doctrine, knowledge. Here's the Hebrew word. And you hear people go, my Bible says this. And another person goes, my Bible says this. Oh, let's just agree to disagree. This is supposed to be the most important subject there is on the planet. You can go right back to the Hebrew word and say, you're wrong. And you know what? That is not, that is actually humility. To tell somebody that is a wrong word, that is humility to our Father. It doesn't say His name is the Lord. It says His name is Yahweh. When my brother and these guys' dad, my older brother Israel, and I would go out to our ranch. And it was a great childhood, going out and just wandering around. The only thing we had to worry about is ticks and sunburn.
Rattlesnakes.
Yeah, they weren't really rattlesnakes. I looked for them. Trust me, I did. The only thing I had to worry about is opening my big mouth and my big brother putting his fist in my mouth. And so I didn't do it very often because he was a lot bigger than me. But I remember one time we went down to the creek. And what's in the creek? I mean, when you first get there's nothing to do. There's no toys. There's no video games. You're looking around. I don't know what to do. 5-10 minutes into it, pretty soon somebody got muddy. And then somebody else moves a rock. And then you see a toad. And then you see a minnow. And all of a sudden, you start looking. There's stuff everywhere. You just got to look for it. Well, pretty soon, one of these times, me, Israel, and our friend and our family, Jacob, we look at this little creek, and we're looking at these pools and stuff. We're like, hey, let's make a dam. That'd be cool, right? Let's make a dam. It wouldn't be too hard. So we got in. We got all muddy at first. We were being timid, trying not to get muddy, trying not to get wet. Afterward, we're throwing mud at each other's face. Ah, hey! We get down. We start shoveling mud and shoveling sand to make a dam. And you know what happened shortly into this? We made a pond. It was really cool. We started looking at it, going, look here, we did something. We made something. We made a little sanctuary. And then what, you know what happened shortly after we made the dam? The dam started to split. The water was going to find a way. And so all of a sudden, oh, we got to make a bigger dam. So what we had, the sand wasn't strong enough, so we went out and got big sticks and logs and rocks, and we made a bigger dam. And then you know what happened?
Right, caught you.
The water went over that too. And so what we did not understand is that when you're making a dam, you have to have a spillway. You can't stop. You can't stop a river.
Right.
And actually, there's gravity. You can't stop it unless you had a gigantic dam. But even if you put a gigantic dam, even with a little creek, guess what's going to happen? It's going to fill up, and it will eventually overflow. We didn't understand that. But what I experienced with that is this defeated feeling.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what we did. Come on, we're just trying to make a dam. We're just trying to stop some water here, and we're so defeated trying to stop this thing. It was almost, it makes me think of like mall, people at the mall going everywhere and put my arms out there and just trying to stop everybody all at once. And this is how we were trying with the water. And one time, Izzy decides, forget the wood. He laid down right in front of it, and he's like, I got it. And it worked for about 15, 20 seconds. And then the water, and it didn't matter. We got so irritated. I think we ended up tearing down the dam. Stupid dam, blah, blah, blah. And we pulled it apart. The point of with trying to stop moving water is sometimes in our lives, it's just like you feel like you're up against an opponent. You're up against some sort of resistance, and it's impossible. What's the point? And so sometimes you're, and all of us, from Ruth, she's 13 months, to my mom.
Never mind.
Everybody has. Can tell how many months you are?
Never mind.
She's 45 months. Right? What's 30? 30 times 12. Anyways, we all feel that way. Every single one of us are in a position like we were as a kid, trying to stop this water. Here's Izzy laying in front of the water. I got it! I got it! And pretty soon it's going over his head and his face and there's mud. We got up and we're so upset and defeated. But all of us are in a position in our life where we're trying to stop something and it's not going to stop. And we feel defeated. And what do we want to do? We want to quit. What's the point? What is even the point? We want to walk away from some of these things. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Would somebody read the 2 Corinthians chapter 12?
I would.
Okay.
Verse 9?
Yeah, let me get there. First, just verse 9, and then I'll have you read 10 after that, after I elaborate.
Okay. And at once he said unto me,
Sufficient?
To thee is my favor, for my power in weakness is made complete most gladly. Therefore, I will rather boast in my weakness that the power of the Manasseh Messiah may spread a tent over me.
Now that doesn't make any kind of sense. Here's Yahweh through Christ, through the Apostle Paul writing this thing, but Paul's a scribe. What happened with Paul? Did he have an easy life?
No.
Mm-hmm. I remember one point where he gets on a boat. He goes, guys, if we go on here, we're going to lose a ship. How long were they out to sea? Was it 2 weeks? No reference points? No food? 2 weeks at sea? They couldn't see anything? Yes. Being beaten? And here it is, and then Yahweh reveals to Paul that you guys are going to make it. So he tells them, eat, everything's going to be fine, we're going to make it, the boat's going to be destroyed. And they make it, right? Mm-hmm. And then everybody clings on, the ship gets torn apart, people go onto the island, and then they start making a fire, and what happens to the Apostle Paul? He goes to put a piece of wood in the fire. What happened to him?
He got bit.
A viper bit onto his hand, and it latched onto his hand. It didn't say that. I'm like, it's hanging there on his hand, and son of a gun, God, I quit. That's it. Is that it? Sometimes in our own lives, things just, the ante keeps going up, like that water, and that's it. Because of our own expectations, what was our reference point? What did we think it was going to be? Were we signing up for the path of least resistance? With the Apostle Paul, what did he do? He shook it off in the fire, and it took authority over whatever venom was in him. You're going to go, man, and here's the Apostle Paul saying in verse 9, and see the emphasis. Make sure, guys, when you're going to read, use the emphasis. Oh, you don't have the emphasis, sorry. My power in weakness is made complete. This word power, what is this word?
Dunamis.
As Strong's number 1411. What is dunamis?
Reproduce.
He has pretty good notes there. Dunamis. What is this power that is made complete? Complete is the word, anyone? What's the name of the ministry?
Telios.
It's from the word telios. My dunamis is made telios. In what? My weaknesses? The word power is dunamis. It specifically means miraculous power. What is made complete? Not your bench press. Not near knock-knock jokes.
Power.
Your miraculous power is made complete when?
In your weakness.
In your weakness. This is our reference point. In your weakness, and you say, my miraculous power? When you get weak, what is made complete? Your miraculous power. Okay, interesting. Isn't that interesting? Well, there's a neat thing. Now, verse 10. Elijah, will you read verse 10 with the emphasis?
Wherefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses and insults and necessities and persecutions and straits. In behalf of Christ, for as soon as I am weak, then am I powerful.
Then am I miraculously strong. And so there's a neat thing. When I go work out, I love the workout. Don't get me wrong. I love the exercise. And so in my laboratory, my faith laboratory, everybody needs a faith laboratory. How are you exercising your faith? Yeah. Troy's been working his the same spirit of faith that split the Red Sea is inside Troy. Troy is exercising that same spirit of faith on the plants and the animals that he's in landscaping and lawns. Is it cementing? It better cement. I think of when we take our Father's words and we put them in our mouth and we speak them like our Father, things better submit, including the demons.
Yeah.
I think of a grown man training a pit bull dog or something. Pit bulls, they got a good resume for self-defense, right? You wouldn't want to be bit by one, right? And it would submit to the owner. But if the pit bull, the neat thing about dogs and cats, you see dogs and cats, see these videos where the cat's picking on the dog. My dad's one that pointed this out. He was, what's really neat about these videos, you guys ever seen it? Where this little bitty cat is picking on this gigantic dog.
Yeah.
My dad was like, the dog isn't afraid of the cat. The dog is afraid of hurting the relationship with the owner. How honorable is that? Because if this was in the street, the dog would eat the cat. But the dog looked at his cat and goes, man, dude, not in front of the boss. The cat goes, who cares about the boss? I am the boss. That's what the cat thinks. But back to the pit bull or the dog, if a little child was 2 years old, walked up to the same pit bull, no, and said it the way the father, the dog would probably look at the kid and look at the dad and be like, we take our father's word, we put them in our mouth and we speak them. But back to my going to the gym, at the end of me is what I've learned is the beginning of Christ. So if you don't have to go to the gym till there's nothing left, I'm spent. And then you go, are you ready? Am I ready? What are you talking about? I got nothing left. He goes, good. This is when I show up. Does he want some of the credit? He wants all the credit. So when he's asking you to do something, when you're spent, your dunamis, your miraculous power is made complete in those moments. And you're going to go, man, this is going to be fantastic. How many people would like to exercise their miraculous power? Mel? Would you like to raise somebody from the dead? Wake them up? Get up! Would you like to do that? Like Esther's teaching? Get up! How would you like to do that? How would you like to be the first person in this family to tell somebody to get out of a wheelchair? It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? The same spirit of faith is in all one of these. And it's made complete in our weaknesses. And so, like, when I go back to the trying to dam up some water, or all of us have been there. I don't know anything about lawns. He knows about lawns. My dad knows about lawns. You know about lawns. I would go spray weeds. Ha! Gotcha! 3 weeks later, come back and there'd be weeds again. I couldn't believe it! And then anybody else is like, dude, you can't come back 3 weeks later and check your lawn. This is something you got to work at. You got to keep working at it. I'm being overwhelmed. Interesting. I was going to have some props tonight. You guys know how to use tools?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it's possible to hammer a nail into a wall using a tape measure?
That depends on what size.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you do it?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because a lot of times in our lives we're getting frustrated. We're about ready to quit on something. We need to say, time out. Is this a user error moment? Am I doing something wrong? And it could be that you're using a tape measure to hammer something in. Aaron, I'm going to do this. Set it down. Go into the room. Go pick up the heavy thing. Oh, makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Ephesians 2, verse 10. It's a neat thing when we talk about user error. What's going on here? We use our reference points that for some reason we think that the longer we've been a Christian or a believer, the easier it should be beginning, right? Who told us that? There's an enemy inside of us. There's something called the old man. He's literally a dirtbag. He's made of dirt. Made Adam out of it. And then we got these genetics in there, deceiving, mocking. And if we don't have any fellowship with darkness, who is this one that's harassing us? I don't walk in darkness, but somebody's always mocking me. And when I mess up, he goes, what did you think was going to happen, huh? Who was that? Here he is mocking me again. And to my knowledge, the old man, or mind, is the one that tells me to never prophesy. Don't do it. Who told me that? Yahweh does not contradict his scriptures to say it comes to prophesy. Here he is, this instigator, but he's also the one that says the longer you're a Christian and the more you devote your life and give, the easier it should get. Right? That's what he says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. 197. It's a neat thing. It says we go back, we're looking back, and we're looking at user errors. And sometimes we're being blindsided about stuff that if we would have just compared ourselves with the Scriptures, which is supposed to be our reflection, who we are in Christ. Mark Hankins did that. He goes, I wanted to do a challenge with the women at his church. This is Mark Hankins, a real funny guy. He goes, who would like to do an experiment for Jesus Christ? And all his hands went up, specifically for women. They go, okay, they raise their hand. He goes, I want to give you a challenge to not look in the mirror for 1 week. They got real quiet. Who would not look in the mirror for a week? A bunch of guys, but I'd do it. He goes, not you guys, but women. You could have boogers and nose hairs and eyebrows twisted together. You could have all kinds of stuff. And they got really stressed out. And like two or three ladies said, I'd do it. He goes, okay. He goes, you wouldn't go 1 week without looking at your reflection in the mirror because you didn't know if there was a problem, right? They go, right. He goes, how long do you go without looking at your reflection and who you are in Christ in the church epistles? You can't go a week. You shouldn't go a day. Who are you in Christ? And then once you look into the church epistle, you go, oh my goodness, I got a big zit right on the tip of my nose and nobody told me. That's embarrassing. I got a blemish here. I got a booger hanging out. But if you don't look at it, it's the same thing. Here's the Scriptures going, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Oh man, I better clean that up. Ephesians 2 verse 10, before we read that, what is our purpose on this planet? What? What? These are good things, especially when we're getting ready to burn out. We're trying to stop some moving water. We're trying to stop a river or something. Sometimes I like to look at a river. Troy, go stop this river. I got it. No, I don't. I got some of it. I'm just slowing it down. I just want to quit. It's not even working. What is our purpose in this life? Verse 10. Mel, why don't you read that with gusto?
His. In fact, we are workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Yahushua upon a footing of good works, which Yahweh prepared beforehand that therein we might walk.
Real important, because in verse 8 it says the salvation is by grace, not of works. We earned it. We're not going to lose it. Okay? We did not earn it. We're not going to lose it. Christ earned it. We received it. So what now? What? The wages of sin is still death. That's Romans 6. And he goes, we were created for good what?
Works.
We're supposed to be working. So when we go back and we're reevaluating some of these things, we're hitting our head against the wall. What were you created to do in this life? What is your purpose in this life? Is it to create a big 401k and retire and have servants take care of you everywhere? No bills? No responsibilities? All your kids are married? Happy? Everybody's got money? Yes. Perfect. Paradise. We got our own island. Let me finish it. Isn't that interesting though? No work? That's what we want. You would think, you're thinking even paradise would be on a hammock somewhere, right? People would be giving me iced tea. Oh, thank you. No, we were created to work. We were created for good works. Hebrews 11, so now we turn to Hebrews 11, page 231. How do we do these good works? Let's narrow this down. What is your purpose? What were we created for? We look at things, and we look at a duck that gets hatched, and we're going, oh man, I can't wait till it gets to the water. Why? We know what it was created for. This is what a duck was born to do. Have you ever seen a duckling get into water? Oh, they dance. Oh, it feels so good. It's what they were created to do. How about a fish or a little alligator getting in the water? Anything. Do you see, once it takes on, this is what it was created to do. How about a butterfly flying off after its wings are dried? Is that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Is that neat to watch? It was created for that. We were created for good works. And guess what happens when we walk out in faith and we start doing those good works? We're just like a duck in the water. It feels fantastic. The new man inside you is just like that duck that gets in the water. Oh, man, you feel fantastic. The old man's gone. Oh, here we go. But how we do these good works, 11 verse 6, Troy, would you read that?
But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he that approacheth unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he becometh.
Amen. So we go back and we go, what is your purpose in life? Are you burning out? Are you wearing out? And all of us are about ready to give. Everybody's got something. We're about ready to quit. You're an offensive lineman. It can be a thankless job, right? Does anybody really watch offensive linemen?
No.
No, they watch a quarterback and they watch a running back. Do the coaches watch the offensive linemen? Most of the time they don't. They can't, unless you're on film. So when I coached offensive linemen, I tried to watch the offensive linemen. I had to force myself to do it. It's a thankless job. Is it easy to do a thankless job? Nobody's watching? Well, I got good news for you. All of us are called to be offensive linemen in certain areas. A thankless job. But somebody is watching. And there will be a film session. And he's going to reward you. Are you rewarded by playing defensive end? Yeah, you get to hit those quarterbacks now. And so you take one for the team. I'll play offensive lineman, get it good with the coach. He puts me as a defensive end. I get a quarterback sandwich. It's fantastic. And Jesus Christ is not going to let us burn out. Despite what your old man tells you, your old man will tell you, would think that he's going to let us burn out. And all of us are this close to burning out in one of our faith missions. It's just not worth it. Nobody's following. Nobody's listening. I'm not seeing any fruit. I'm just about ready to burn out. But let's just think about this reasonably. If we burn out, who really suffers? Christ and Yahweh. Who has more to lose if you burn out? You? Or them? Them. We are created a new mold in Christ Jesus. We go back, and then we should sit there and go, this is ridiculous. You would let me burn out. A president might let me do that, but even a godly king would do it. If it was brought to King David's attention that one of his mighty men of valor is about ready to quit because his wife left him and they're getting ready to go to war again, King David would say, come here. What's going on, man? And it could be that this guy just vents. He's got to dump. It is very, very good to, in a respectful way, to dump, by the way. And sometimes, the only time we dump, that means that I just got to complain for a little bit. I got to get some stuff off. The best dumping is at the feet of Jesus Christ. Permission to speak freely. I don't want to be offensive, but I just need to talk to somebody. Other people, I'm just going to dump to them. And you can imagine, here's this mighty man of valor. My wife left me. Here's this. I can imagine King David going, man, that stinks. Who is a man after God's own heart? Yahweh's own heart. David. He's looking at this guy. He's doing the same thing he's doing. And then David would say, you know what? I lost a wife once. You did? Yeah. 200 foreskins. The king asked for 100. I gave him 200 to get his daughter. And I did get the daughter that he promised me. I got his other daughter, Michael. And then her, my father-in-law's going to murder me. So I had to take off, and she didn't come with me. Man, that happened to you for being obedient? You lost a wife? Yeah, it really stunk. And then all of a sudden they're sitting there talking, and then David goes, but you know what? I remembered Joseph. Oh yeah? What did Joseph do? Joseph always remembered Yahweh was watching. And he always, and Joseph remembered that Yahweh was going to reward him. Who was watching all these things? And here's David going, you're going to be rewarded, and nothing can be taken that Yahweh can't restore. Golly, could you imagine if Donald Trump was your father and somebody stole your car? I'm never going to need another Pinto ever again. This is my favorite Ford Pinto. Donald Trump's kids would not worry about Ford Pintos. Their dad would take care of it, right? Well, our father's got cattle on a thousand hills. He won't let you burn out. Go to him. Dump. Talk to him about this water you're trying to stop. And just say, I need permission to speak freely and watch what will happen. As you dump, the loads that you're carrying, you're not supposed to carry certain loads. He's actually removing them. And if there's anybody who wants to talk to him more, it's him. And my mom and dad are married. I'm not married, but I can imagine in married situations, every once in a while, the husband and the wife, they just got to vent. And they go, that's really going on? That's really going on. That stinks. I'm sorry. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm sorry. And then they might have this breakthrough. And it didn't even change anything. I felt really good. We're supposed to do that with Christ before we quit. And then he's going to reward us. Ephesians 2.20. We'll go back to Ephesians 2.20. So we look back at your calling. And why are we surprised when we're asked, we sing songs, I'll do anything for you. Actually, most Christian songs in most churches, well, they should replace most of those songs with Meatloaf songs. I would do anything for you, but I won't do that. I don't want to do that. Let's just be honest. Will you say my name? Well, no. I won't say your name. Will you prophesy? Oh, I won't do that. Well, I'll say that I'll do that. He's like sitting there going, all of us are withholding something. Not to pick on him, but we got to come back and go, what do you want me to do? He wants you to produce something. You know what he wants you to produce? Faith. Good works through faith. Would somebody read at a grown up chapter 3, verse 20?
Now unto him who is able to do above all things, exceeding abundantly above the things which we ask or conceive, according to the power which doth energize itself within us.
Now, according to him who is able. Is Yahweh able to do things? Would you be surprised if Yahweh split the Red Sea again?
No.
Would you be surprised if Jesus Christ came back and walked on water again?
No.
Actually, if somebody, the news said that everybody had footage of somebody walking on water, we would be excited. We wouldn't be surprised. We'd be thankful. We wouldn't be surprised. Is he able? Yeah, of course. Above all things. Oh, sure. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Can Yahweh do more? Yeah, he created the Milky Way. It came right out of his mouth. He can handle this. According to the miraculous power, the dunamis, where is it now? Which doth energize itself. Where is this miraculous power?
Within us.
It's in us. I'm on this desert island. Help! I need some help! And you're looking for help. External help. External help. I need help. And he goes, what does my scripture say? I don't got time to read, man. Send in the Coast Guard. I'm going to die. He goes, the answer's inside you. What do you mean the answer's inside? Who lives inside you? The lion of the tribe of Judah is inside you. Christ is inside you. And Jesus Christ said to Thomas, you believe because you have seen. But greater is him who believes and is not seen. That's us.
Amen.
Have you ever seen Jesus Christ face to face?
No.
But he's inside us. The answer is inside us. Where is this miraculous power? It's inside us. And when is it made complete, perfect? In our weaknesses. Now, Romans 4, 154, chapter. How much time we're looking? I need some money! Fast! Please! I'll do whatever you want! Just pay my bills! Please! Aaron, you're looking for miraculous power. Yes, it would be miraculous to have my mortgage paid today. The answer is inside you. That doesn't make any kind of sense. There's nothing inside me. Yeah, it's inside you. The power to raise the dead is inside you. The power to open the blind eyes is inside you. The power to tell weeds and plants to die or come up is inside you. The power to tell animals and bucks and things to come to you is inside you. The power of all the promises he has for you is inside you. Speak it. It says if you believe it, you'll speak it. You want to know what you're believing? What's coming out of your mouth? And if CNN... Fox News is coming out of your mouth. Oh, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. What do you believe? I got to repent. I repent. That's not coming out of my mouth anymore. Going to go, my father has cattle on a thousand hills. And if the whole congregation, the whole country goes south, I will be a tree planted by living water. Whatever that is. My sufficiency is not the United States of America, but I will stand up. And when Moses said, who is for Yahweh on this side? I'll be like the Levite. Was that the side of the majority? No. But I'll be like Peter that stood up with Malchus. I'll be with you, Christ. I can abandon a lot of different things, but don't let me abandon you because he's in the room. Power's inside us. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. If somebody would read that.
Me.
Okay. Now this is who's the father of our faith? Abraham. Father of a multitude. We're looking at Him. Here's a resume. When you're trying to hold back water, you're trying to hold back a dam, the water's not stopping, you're about ready to quit. I can imagine even a grown man, if we didn't understand some of the physics, the engineering, we'd get three or four bulldozers, right? Yeah. Would that stop a creek? No? You got to have a spillway. You got to have a spillway. I didn't know that. My dad even taught me. He goes, even beavers will do it. You got to have a spillway. We're trying to do that sometime. Now we're going to look at Abraham. Who is our reference point? Verse 18. Does it start off? I think it says who?
Yeah.
Before hope. Is that what it says?
Past.
No. Who? What's that first word?
Who against hope believed in hope?
Past hope. After hope. After hope was gone. What did he do? There's no hope. What did Abraham do?
Believed.
Upon hope. Believed so that he became an Ab or a father of many nations, according to what had been said. Who said? Our father. So shall be thy seed. The same voice that took dirt out of the end, and it would have been red dirt. Twins, Adam and Eve. That same guy spoke to Abraham. He took him out of all the unbelief, the contaminated believers. He goes, you're it. And what did he do? In verse 19. And without becoming weak in his faith, he attentively considered his own body already deadened, he being 100 years old. This word attentively is Strong's number 2657. Katanao. It's a Greek word, katanao. It means to observe fully. Modern translations say to consider not. It absolutely does not mean to consider not. It means he observed fully. That's Strong's. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says to direct one's whole mind and object. I used to read the King James. That was my what I memorized or memorized growing up in the Scriptures. And I thought Abraham considered not all the debt that was stacked up against him. He considered not what was against him. To me, that's like ignoring all the things that stood against you. What did Abraham do with all the debt that was stacked up against him? He observed it fully. He directed one's whole mind and object to what? How old is he? What is this? He's 100 years old. And the deadening also of Sarah's womb. I heard somebody go, well, back then people aged very differently. I rebuke your unbelief. It says her womb was not alive. It didn't matter if she was 15. Her womb was dead. I rebuke your womb back then. Says who? Your unbelief. But people come in and say, Moses, well, when people were 80, they could say those things. You're saying, so you're justifying your unbelief. This is our reference point. This is our survival guide. And when people dumb down our heroes and Yahweh's heroes, we got to rebuke it. I rebuked it. He's in the room. It says she was dead. In respect, however, the promise of Yahweh, he was not led to hesitate by unbelief, but received miraculous power. Do you think he was weak? I would ask you a question. Here's my sister Donna. She's a great leader. She volunteered at a nursing home, right? Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Reading, so here's people that are forgotten about in nursing homes. They're not healthy, a lot of them. A lot of times, this is their last place they're going to be living. What if I told you, here's a woman, she's on her bed, she's 98 years old. She's a Christian, she was, I'm ready to go to sleep. To sleep with my fathers, I'm ready for the resurrection. My course is run. I have run my race. She's repeating like the Apostle Paul. And okay, that makes sense. Jesus Christ crossed off the to-do list. It is finished. He did all of his father's to-do list. All of it. It is finished. Now you feel when you cross off the last thing on the list. Yes, here's Yahushua. What if Yahweh told you, go tell her mission's not over? Okay. What's she supposed to do? She's supposed to have a baby. You go tell 101... How? That'll be a miracle. But she can't go to sleep until you get pregnant. Would that be defeating for you to deliver that message?
I don't think so.
It would be for me. to go to a person who's getting ready to expire because they've run their course and say, and they, what do they want? They want to probably go to sleep and say, you're going to have a baby. Man, that's not easy stuff, at least for me. I'm impressed. I admire your faith. But here it was, in his weakness, he became strong too, just like the Apostle Paul. His miraculous power, by his faith, giving glory unto Yahweh and being fully persuaded that. What did Abraham do? He fully considered all the debt that was stood up against him. He did not ignore all the debts. And in their case, it was age. And he kept waiting on Yahweh, kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Here it was. And now, there's no chance of Sarah having a baby. Her womb's dead. There's no chance of Abraham having a baby. Who gets all the glory?
Yahweh.
Is he weak? Yes. And what did he do? He redirected all this. And what did he say? Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, he was fully persuaded that what he hath promised. Kid, will you read the last part?
Able is he also to perform.
He took all that pressure and that weight. What did he do? He gave it right back to Yahweh. Yahweh's got it. He has promised you things, hasn't he? He's told you all of us certain things we just know inside of us. And sometimes we just want to quit and they don't go away. He is able to perform everything he has promised. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What I believe what Abraham did is his miraculous power became complete like the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12. The miraculous power was complete when? When Abraham became dead. And Sarah's womb is dead. Now who gets all the glory? It was a miraculous birth. And what was Yahweh looking for? A story to tell his daughter-in-law. If you'd call Miriam or Mary that. Mary, you're going to be pregnant. How could this be, since I know not a man? The Hebrew Scriptures didn't say a virgin. They had no reason to believe a virgin, by the way. That would bring up a good question. If it did say a virgin, why didn't Mary know that? Didn't she know the Scripture? The reason why it says a virgin in our Old Testament is because the translators that translated the Hebrew know it applies to Mary. It's the word Alma. It just means young girl. It could be a virgin. But why would anybody translate that virgin? Nobody knew about the virgin birth. But here's Miriam going, how can I have a baby without knowing a man? It'd be a miracle birth, wouldn't it? Yeah. Just like Isaac. And so here's this whole thing, but the miraculous power is complete when it was all over. At the end of you is the beginning of Yahweh. When you are expired, you're toast, you got nothing left. That's when Superman shows up. And then you open your mouth and you release it. Go get in your prayer closet, go, I'm ready. There's nothing left. You get all the credit. That which you have promised to Abel, are you to perform? You don't call me to things that you can't do. In fact, you speak to things that be not as though they were. Here I am. I got nothing left. And he goes, that's exactly what I was waiting for. You produce that faith. What I believe, here's what Abraham did. We go back to our purpose in life. It is to produce faith. You have a choice to produce faith or not. It is up to us each day. Will you produce faith? And we should start our day going, how should I produce faith? Is it producing faith doing something you do every day? No. Not necessarily. It could be a little bit. But each day we just say, what kind of faith do you want? What do you desire from me? You are worth it. And he might say, just be a good listener. That'd be very tough for me. And then ask him. Then you produce that faith. And then what else do you... Your good works. You were not given this life so you could blend in with unbelievers. Jesus Christ was a rock of offense, a stumbling rock. It literally says that. Was his intention to stumble people? No. But sometimes delivering the truth makes people stumble. How many people will do that? And you say, okay, if that's what you want. But here's what I believe what Abraham did. We go back. We were created for good works. Okay. And how do we do those good works? It's through faith, because we can't please them without faith. So what kind of works are we supposed to do? All of us are on personal mission. And he'll talk to you. We'll go get counsel, but it's always going to come back to you get on your knees, you get quiet, and you talk to him. And he's going to say, now I got your attention. I got a special mission for you. what I believe Abraham did is when he attentively considered, and I'll go back to that word. It was kataneo, I believe, Strong's number 2657. He looked at all this stuff. He looked at this water he's trying to stop, this river. I was talking about trying to make dams on the creek growing up. Remember that? It never worked for very long. But he attentively considered all that was up against him like an engineer. What do we got here? What do engineers do with moving water? What can we do with this? You know what? Instead of fighting the gravity of the water and just putting a spillway so we can keep it, that's a lot of movement. You know what engineers do? They take something that is a dauntless task and they go, let's make this river go through some electrical turbines before we let go of it. Do you know how Las Vegas gets all the electricity to keep the air conditioning on in the middle of a desert with the doors open? How do your parents feel about you guys leaving the doors open with the air conditioner on? Las Vegas leaves the doors open. Where do they get all the electricity? Hoover Dam. Abraham took all that was against him and he used it to produce miracle-producing power. So come back at whatever you're looking at, your dauntless task. Add it up. Then charge yourself. Just go, this is how I'm going to produce the miracle-working power just for you. I'll go ahead and hear from Father according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If anybody feels like inspired to speak in tongues and interpret, we thank you, Father. I thank you for all the believers that are here, specifically here. I thank you for their hearts, and I thank you for the words revered here.
Ero unia perca sentiora caia. Mir pia sandura ge se piro cosciantiera vaia. Datara sentia totosca. Like the moon at night that I allow you to see, and the sun in the day that directs your feet. The rain that falls that causes growth and cooling. Know that all these things are nothing compared to what I have created in you. None of the growth or the flowers or the animals or anything can be compared to you and what I have created in you. Utilize this power that I have placed there that my son died for. Utilize this and shine and become lights. Become greater lights than the sun that shines, greater lights than the moon at night and the stars. I am well pleased with you, my children. Open your hearts and your minds and receive and give back that light.
My children, first you grow as a little green plant, and I want you to grow bigger and bigger and bigger into a beautiful flower. I don't want you to all kiss up and then be mad and then go into a weed. I want you to be a beautiful flower. To look at you. A beautiful signs all over the other weeds. And we came into more of you. And there'll be people who believe in me. And you'll get presents.
More Sanchika. Kalamatichana Koyaba, Kijamashi Pochima, who my Kalamasekoche Kayoma, Kalamakika Koya Rayoi, Masika Chino Koya, Malanganikola Misino Shuya, Koyamo, Galaki Yamolaki Yamoya, Kalakochakoi. My children, when you are almost beaten, when your life is almost done, you must remember, my children, don't slow down. Don't stop teaching people. For the more people that you teach, the more people that will thank you. And the more rewards that you will get, the more blessings that you will get, my children. So don't slow down.
My children, you are all like apples. And all of you, some of you look bad on the outside, but good on the inside. Some of them look perfect on the outside, but not on the inside. I want you to be both. I want you to look good on the outside. I don't care what you look on the outside. I just want care what you look on the inside. It's like the Bible. It's easy to open. You can open the Bible very easily, but you can't open your heart.
Amen.
very easily. So just follow me and just be the apple that I like. If you look ugly on the outside, just be good on the inside. Some people are good on the outside, but they're not on the inside. Just follow me and say my name. Amen.
My child, it's not my choice if you become a rose bush or a thorn bush. I don't want you to be a thorn bush. I want you to be a rose bush, but it's not my decision to make. You have to follow me or go in a different direction. It may seem like an easy path, but the easy path is not easy when you get towards the end. In my path, there will be obstacles, but you can face these obstacles if you just follow me, and you can become a rose bush.
Yeah. My sons and daughters, think of the times when you were looking through something that had dirty lenses and something fouling the vision, and you clean them and remove these things from the lens, and then you look again and you see, wow, I can't believe what I was missing before. Well, I call this upon you that to knock the scales off the eyes, to open up the vision that I have given you and see the things that I've made available. Remind yourself continually to purge away these things that disrupt the vision that I have for you, and put on my vision that I may be able to show you and open the eyes for you, that you can see the path that I am calling you to go. That as you do these things, that it will be as a person seeing distance for the first time, and all the marvels that they are seeing with this, the wonderful blessings I have in store for you.
Kamati, Amati, Kamata, my children. You are an apple, and you look good inside. No. You all look so beautiful outside. The light that shines on you. And some apples are beautiful outside but don't have seeds in them. And I have no seeds. And those seeds are inside you. Some of them aren't. Some of them just aren't in them. But some of them are. Because my light is inside of you. That shines. It makes the outside beautiful. And I want you to be that apple with those seeds.
We'll give a prophecy for everybody else. We thank you, Father, for these words. My sons and my daughters know that I am alive and am well. And I'm actively working at all the promises that I've done and promised you. Know that I have not given up on hope, and I have not given up on you. Don't give up on me. And just as a parent would run out and check off all the gifts that he or she has for their children on New Year's Eve, so do I go and prepare things for you, wonderful surprises, to satisfy and to inspire you and to encourage you. I'm not just asking you to be obedient like a slave. I'm asking you to help me write the most beautiful story you could ever imagine, so that everybody who reads it goes, wow, don't I want to be a part of that? I want you to be an inspiration, and I want to shine through you. I want you to be my conduit so I can show how much I love my children. There is an adversary and there's a curse in this world that harms my children. I want them to know my will for them, and I need you to shine. So know that I am actively working. And get excited like a little kid on Christmas Eve going, I know wonderful things are coming tomorrow. And be ready to produce faith. And know that I will not give up on you, so please don't give up on me.